Hey, welcome back to our LifePoint Delaware Drivecast. My name is Braden Rodriguez, and I am the student and 1825 pastor at our Delaware campus. And if you were with us on Sunday morning, on June 26th, you saw that I continued on in our series and labels, where we looked at this idea that the gospel calls us to a life above labels. And man, we see that Jesus takes marginalized people, and if I could say it this way, unmarginalizes them. We've talked about that for the last couple of months. As we've read through the book of Luke, as we've been praying through the book of Luke and preached through it on Sunday mornings, we've just seen this theme over and over and over, that Jesus takes people who are labeled disreputable, sinner, diseased, and just says free, clean, and pure. And so I have personally, and we as a staff have been loving going through this series with you all. And so if you were with us on Sunday morning, June 26th, like I said, we continued on in that series, and we were in Luke chapter 13. And we see this idea, and this is kind of where we landed on Sunday, is that we are one, all diseased and cursed by sin. And that's kind of the label that we have before Jesus. And then after Jesus, we get this label of, like, we now get to be in his kingdom and we are now healed. And so we looked at Luke 13, and the first five verses is this crowd looks back at Jesus and they're like, Jesus, you know, are these people worse than us because they died this way? And Jesus says, no, like, unless you repent, like, you're just essentially as bad off as them, right? Why? Because we all have level ground at the foot of the cross, right? We all are sinners that need a savior. No matter what their sin was or what our sin was, we all need a savior because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. That's what the book of Romans talks about. And so as we continued on in the passage, we looked at verses 10 through 17, where this unknown woman is healed in this unknown synagogue. And right, this points to this fact that yes, there is this idea that we are all sinners, but even though we are all sinners, even though we're all diseased, Jesus, anytime, any place, anyhow, can save us, right? And so this woman, she's been, it says, had this disabling spirit for 18 years, and now 18 years has gone by. Jesus comes into this unknown synagogue, and it says it heals this woman. And so we see that now Jesus is ushering in this kingdom and is pointing to the kingdom that all kinds of people, no matter what the culture would think about this woman, can be saved. And then we see that at the very end in verse 18 through 21, where in Luke 13, Jesus says, you know, what is the kingdom like? And then he goes on to say that the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed. It's like leaven in a loaf of bread, right? In this certain measure of flour. And so it says that the mustard seed, it grows to be this large tree, and that all these birds come in to nest in it. And then this measure of flour and leaven, it says, could feed, essentially culturally, it would look like it could feed over 100 people. And so the picture is that anyone is allowed to come into the kingdom. All of these kinds of birds, right? That's Old Testament imagery out of Ezekiel 17 that we read. All kinds of birds can come in. God is setting it up. And then same with the leaven, right? Over 100 people could eat this. There's plenty, essentially, to go around. The kingdom starts small, but grows big, right? And we get that picture of this unknown woman, right? It starts small in her, and then it says by the end, she's glorifying God, right? And so just the same with the disciples, just the same with us, right? So we're formerly sinners before Jesus, and that's our label. But when Jesus comes, he changes everything and he frees us from our sin. And so as we talked about the curse of sin, as we talked about all these things, as we talked about freedom, I referenced and didn't read all of this passage, but I referenced shortly Romans chapter 8. And I want to read for us that passage today and just kind of sit on that passage a little bit, right? Because we've been preaching through Luke. I didn't have a lot of time to go through Romans 8. So let me read you Romans 8, chapter 18 through 25. Or Romans 8, verses 18 through 25. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And so I really want to sit there today and hope that this cause us to think a little bit. So what is Paul, the writer of Romans, saying here? He's essentially saying, if you go back to the beginning, when sin enters in Genesis chapter 3, it says creation breaks and falls. Now it is cursed and marred by sin, right? So that's back in Genesis chapter 3. And essentially what Paul is saying, and he's making the case for here in Romans 8, is that now creation groans, right? Creation itself, the world itself, is groaning essentially for God to come back. Why? Because sin has broken creation. We have now natural disasters. We have sickness. We have death and all of these things. So creation, the world is broken, right? We live in this broken, fallen world. That's why we have all of these crazy things happen. And then also we as people who are marred and broken by sin, we groan as well. We want something different. We want something better. And so what is the hope in the midst of groaning, right? Because it says, even in verse 18, like we have suffering, right? Like that's happening here on this side of eternity. We have suffering. But Paul says, I consider it not worthy to compare to the glory that's about to come, right? Is that when Jesus comes back, when everything is made right, and I am with my Savior in eternity, because I was once a sinner, now I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus. One day when he comes back for me, he's going to make all heavens and all earth and all people essentially new, right? Like all of his creation is going to be made new, right? We flip then to Revelation. It says that there is a new heaven and a new earth and a new city in which the people of God live in. And now it says that there's no more tears and there's no more pain. And we have this glorified body that we get to live in now. And so Paul goes to say is, yes, we groan now, but then we get to the end of Romans 8 those last few verses, 23 through 25, it says, but now we have hope. And we don't see it yet, right? But we know it is coming. We hope and wait with patience because we know God has said it and he is good to keep his word and he is coming back for us. And so I referenced that on Sunday shortly, but I wanted to dig deeper into that thought is because yes, we are marred in this world and this world is broken and sin is rampant, but we have a reason to have great hope. We have this waiting with hope and expectation that God will come back and he will make all things right. And the glory that one day we will get to see with God is not worthy. The things here, the suffering is not worthy to compare to that glory that one day we will see. And so what is the hope? Is God and Jesus, that when we are saved in him, we wait patiently for his return with eager expectation. And so church, I'm so glad that you jumped on with us today. I want to pray for us, and then I just am going to give you some time to pray through the passage after I pray. Father, we love you, and God, we thank you for who you are and what you do. God, I just ask that as we are in this world, that yes, sin is still around, brokenness is still around, we have struggled, and God, we suffer. God, I just pray that you would give us the perspective, God, that we would have peace in you, and God, that we would know one day you will make all things brand new, that all the suffering that's here on this side of eternity, that all of the hardship and all the struggle that we have, yes, as a result of sin, is not worthy to compare to the glory that you will bring whenever you make all things new. As believers in Jesus, we ask that you would give us courage and boldness and that we would follow you in all the things that you've asked us to do. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, church, like I said, I would love for you to just pray through this passage. And so I'm gonna tell you that you're sent and then you can pray. Thank you, church, you are sent.